Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 2.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Amen, amen, amen. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We just heard chapter 2 of Ephesians chapter 2 is our opening scripture for today. And I thank God for the word of God. Let us pray. Father, we say thank you today, Lord God. We thank you for your son. We thank you for the redemption of sin, God. We thank you for renewed bodies, God. We thank you, God, for deliverance from our sins, from our issues, oh God, from our struggles, from our dependency, God. Father, we say thank you today, God. We thank you, God, for the blessing for the husbands, fathers, and sons, oh God, as they stand in the gap for their families, God, as they lead in their homes, lead in their churches, and lead in the communities, God. We lift up the pastors and elders and deacons who serve the ministers of the people, God, who shepherd the flock of your church, oh God. God, continue to encourage them, continue to strengthen them, Lord God. And Father, today, especially today, God, we want to take the opportunity to pray for the unbeliever, for the sinner man, for the one who doesn't know Jesus Christ and the remission of your sins, forgiveness of your sins, and the redemption of your soul. We're praying today, God, that something will be said tonight that will encourage them, that will open their hearts, their minds, that the Holy Spirit can touch them, that the word of God can affect them and be planted in good ground, that the seed of the word can be planted in the good ground of their hearts. So, Father, we say thank you again. We come to you, O God, with thanksgiving, O God, and just say thank you. Continue to watch over me and my family, and for those that are listening, oh God, bless them, oh God, and keep them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, amen. This is Christian Men Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Barr. We'd like to welcome you. For those of you who called in, it's 646-668-2636. Thank you for calling in. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Barr, we thank you for joining us tonight. Tonight we were doing our evangelistic outreach. You know, it's springtime's here. The weather's breaking around the country here locally in the Baltimore, Maryland, D.C. area. We're warming up. We're getting 60-degree days. Summer's coming. Spring's coming. And this is an opportunity for the church. Let me speak to the believer, to the church, to the pastors, the elders. It's time for to move our people outside of the four walls and reach the lost, into the communities, into the streets. Compel them to come to Jesus Christ. Let them know what the gospel looks like. Put hands and feet to it. All the things that we turn into cliches, the spring and summertime is the opportunity to move. To move to reach the lost. Because people are dying, the world is dying, and we need to be seen as the body of Christ, ministering the gospel. Even in all that we do, in feeding the elderly, feeding the homeless, and taking care of the widows and orphans. But if we do not share the gospel, that their lives, that their souls can be saved, we have failed. We have failed the purpose of Christ coming, because he fed those, he's done, we do all these things. But if we have not shared the gospel and showed the people the way to Christ for eternal life, their souls will still end up on hell. We might make it comfortable here in this temple realm, but what have we really done if their soul still ends up in hell? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight and a couple more series of broadcasts. We want to get the plain, unadulterated gospel. Because, again, when we talk to the unbeliever, the non-Christian, sometimes they just get a view of the church from TV, televangelism, the church they used to go to as a kid, the church they see now, the pastors, the preaching. But they never open the word for themselves. They never taught the pure and simple gospel. And I hope that in these series of discussions and sharing that we can encourage the lost, encourage the unbeliever. This show is specifically for that, for the unbeliever and for the non-Christian. To take opportunity to search the Word of God yourself. I'm going to start first with, I know there's a lot of different translations of the Bible, of the Scriptures, but even my years, of being under men, good quality men who teach the Word of God, there's a King James, the Authorized King James, the NIV, and there's one other one that I would put out there, the New Living Translation. And I believe the New Living Translation is a little bit more for understanding because it speaks into the language that we maybe understand. But if you use the combination of translations, you can get the principles, understanding of what the Word of God says for your life and for mine. Because it is Jesus Christ. The only way to God is through Christ. There's no other way, and it's a free gift. It's not nothing you can do to earn it. There's no practices, no rituals, no dress up, no long skirt, shirt, tie, the navy blue jacket. None of that is going to get you into heaven. The God doesn't look for any of that. He's looking for a contrite, a repentant heart in a man and in a woman. Amen? So I'm going to start off with, first, I'll give you an opportunity, if you're listening, that you can get you a pen and a paper or something to write down with. Or remember, you can always go back to www.blogtalkradio.com/. You can talk as far and hear the rebroadcast. Also, you can share it with others. And then just have an opportunity to open up to discuss the gospel. I'm going to give some scripture references and read a couple scriptures. We have a multitude of scriptures, but I'm not going to read them all, but I will be giving the scripture references as I go through my presentation of the gospel. What the gospel is. The gospel is. This is what Christ died for. This is what the Word of God teaches. I'm open up with a quick reading here, synopsis, to get us started. Amen? And if you're, and also, for my brothers out there, you're listening, you called in at 646-668-2636. If you want to join in, share your insights, share a word of encouragement or something that God's put on your heart to speak to the unbeliever. That's the one thing I just wanted to make everyone know that's listening tonight. We want to address the unbeliever and the non-Christian today. And if you're listening and you're not a Christian or you're not a non-believer, you haven't given your life to Christ, I encourage you to push one and ask a question. If I can get you the question, someone online might have an answer for you. But this is an important thing because this is about your eternal soul. You're going to live. Your soul is eternal. And it's up to you to decide while you're in this temporal realm where's your soul going to end up in eternity? In hell, under the wrath of God, or in his presence, in his love? Amen? So let me begin with this. God made everything out of nothing, including you and me. His main purpose in creation was to bring him pleasure. The chief way in which we as humanity do this is through loving, obeying, and enjoying him perfectly. Instead of this, we have sinned against our loving Creator and acted in high-handed rebellion. God has vowed that he will righteously and lovingly judge sinners with eternal death. But God, being merciful, loving, gracious, and just, sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of man, to live as a man, fulfilling his perfect requirements in the place of sinners, loving, obeying, and enjoying him perfectly. And further, his Son bore the eternal judgment of God upon the cross of Calvary, as he satisfied the eternal anger of God, standing in the place of sinners. God treated Jesus as a sinner, though he was perfect and sinless, that he might declare sinners as perfect. This glorious transaction occurred as the sinner puts their faith, dependence, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their substitute. God then charges Christ's perfection to the sinner and no longer views him as an enemy, but instead an adopted son, covered in the perfect righteousness of his Son. God furnished proof that this sacrifice was accepted by raising Christ from the dead. God will judge the world in righteousness and all those who are not covered with the righteousness of Christ, depending on him for forgiveness of their, will be forced to stand on their own and bear the eternal anger of God. Therefore, all must turn from sin and receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen? So that's where we're at. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what the Bible teaches. And this is why Jesus came. Because God, again, you know, I started off in the prayer. It was God. We're talking about the Holy God. We're talking about the God of the Bible, the God that created, who created everything from nothing. He spoke. He spoke and the world was created. He spoke and everything was created. You go to the book of Genesis and read through Genesis. That's one of the things about the gospel. The first five chapters of Genesis, you have to believe that. If you don't believe the first five, six chapters of Genesis, then there's no hope for you. There's no hope. Because if you don't believe who God says he is in his word, then there's no hope for you. It's as simple as that. You may hear that on a Sunday morning. You may not. You heard it here on Issues Christian Men's Talk. So as we go through right now, I just want to encourage you again. You know, if you have a paper, a pencil, write some of these scriptures down and study them for yourself, because that's the other thing. And when we talk about the body of Christ as being a disciple of Christ, as being a follower of Christ, to follow someone, you have to know what they're speaking and the direction they're giving. And this is what the Word of God does. This is what the Bible does. It gives us instructions for living. It gives us instructions for living righteousness, how we treat our families, how we ought to live in every aspect of life. That's one of the things that a lot of non-believers or non-Christians don't believe, that Scripture has an answer for everything. And who Jesus represents and what he taught. And the entire scripture has a teaching for us, the old and the new, and the letters written by Paul. I know a lot of people are familiar with the Gospels, and they just want to talk about what Jesus said and what Jesus done. But God gave us all 66 books of the Bibles for our edification, for our growth, for our get us to a point that we can understand him and know him. And that's what we are called to do. Amen. So let me begin. The gospel is God loves us. We go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And I'm going to start there real quick. Start at 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse number 8. He that loveth not knoweth but God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Again, that's what we talked about earlier, that God sent his Son Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sin. Point number two, the gospel is God hates sin. Sin is disobedience to God, and he hates sin. And by his own word, he teaches the punishment of disobedience is death. Amen? Real quick, I want to give you, for those who are taking notes, God hates sin. Go to Psalms chapter 5, verse 5. And your second scripture for that is going to be Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. And right now, I'm going to go to Psalms. I'm working with my paper Bible because I'm going to take my time and just give it a flip and give folk out the opportunity to write some of these scriptures down. Because, again, you have to go back and see the Word for yourself and read the Word in black and white on the page and let the Holy Spirit give you understanding and give you insight. And pray that God will give you the wisdom to understand His Word and hear His Word and be able to apply His Word. Because I think that is the greatest thing we have to do, even for my Christian brothers and sisters. Application of the Word. Like anything else, we are called to read the directions, read the Word, and then apply the Word. And we have that in all aspects of our lives. So I just want to encourage you as an unbeliever to read your Word for yourself, get in a place in the church that teaches the Word of God, teaches for understanding, a place where you can ask questions. So that is the purpose of the church. The true purpose of the church is to bring us and grow us in our faith. You know, I'm not going to use a lot of Christian words on today, but to grow in our faith is the process that we begin. Once we believe, then the knowledge of God grows within us. Amen. So I'm going to Psalms chapter number 5, verse number 5, and it says, "The foolish shall not stand in their sight. Thou hast hated all workers of iniquity." God hates sin. Sin, disobedience, and He hates sin. He's going to punish sin. But remember, our salvation is being saved. You know, a lot of folks use the phrase being saved. And what are we being saved from? It's not hell. It's not the devil. It's being saved from the wrath of God, His anger for sin. He's a righteous and He's a just God, and He's going to punish sin because He is truth, He's righteousness, and He's love. And because He's love, He hates sin and will punish sin, and our salvation is to save us from His wrath. Because of Christ, when Christ returns, and when we stand before Christ and be judged for Him. Amen. My next point is the gospel is, even if you are a good person, you may consider yourself a good person. We have a lot of good people out there. We have people who take care of folks, feed folks, give donations, do a lot of good things, outward appearance, outward works. They have a good heart. They might have a sincere heart. But that's not what God is looking for. Again, it's through Christ Jesus that we are redeemed and that we accept His payment for sin. I'm going to go to, again, Proverbs 21, verse number 2. Proverbs 21, verse number 2. And the Word of God says, "Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart." Because, again, the righteous, the good, the person with good intentions, you know, we have a lot of folk out there who are But they give a lot. They do a lot of things. They help the homeless. They help the hungry. They help the sick. They build hospitals. They build medical centers. They give away free drugs. They do a lot of things to help folk. They feed the homeless. They build affordable housing. They do all these things with good intentions, but that's not what God looks for. Because, again, He's looking at the heart. There's a reason why folk do good things, charitable works. And even for, you know, at One Men's Men, we talked about it. You know, how much do you love God? Do you still take your tithes and offering, deduct it from your taxes, or just pay the taxes on the money and not tell the IRS? Do not take that deduction for charitable deductions. Where's your heart when it comes to that matter? How many of us in the church, I'm going to the church now for a minute, because these tax season's here, it's done, but did you claim all your tithes and offerings and got the readout from your church and then put it on your tax form? Or was your heart to not even claim it and just pay the taxes on it? Sometimes we have to check ourselves. Everything is righteous and everything is legal, but where is our heart? And God is going to judge our heart because we're going to stand before Him. So being a good person is not enough. Being good deeds, being kind to people, giving the homeless money, feeding the homeless, all the things we do that sound good and feel good, to make us feel good about ourselves, God's going to judge our heart on the reason why we did it. Did we really do it? Because we want to show Him and give Him the glory, or do we want to do it so we, in pride, someone can say how good and wonderful we are? Amen? Amen. My next one is, gospel is, you have not lived a perfect life. None of us has lived a perfect life. Only Christ Jesus. We have to understand that. We have to remember that. And then one thing I want to add to that, we're not called to live a perfect life in this life on earth as we walk this temporal realm. But we are called to live a life of obedience and a life of consistency. And that's what the scripture teaches. That's what the church, the Bible teaches. I'm not going to say a church, but, you know, sometimes we have people thinking that they get their lives is good and perfect and they're going to be okay. But we have not lived a perfect life. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And again, I pray that you write these down, go back and read them over. You have Christian friends. You can call here, Issues Christian Men's Talk, every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., on Saturdays at 9 a.m., and you can ask a question after you, if you search these scriptures. You can come back and join us, ask a question, because again, this is the outreach times of the season, and we take this opportunity to use this medium to be able to reach someone with the gospel message. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8, what reads, "If you say that you have no sin, you deceive yourselves, and the truth is not in us." If you say you've never sinned, you're confused. You have sinned. We all have sinned. We all have fallen short. We have the tainted sin of Adam's disobedience. That's the easiest way and the quickest way I can explain sin. It's disobedience to God's will. And if you know the story of Adam, because he sinned, all mankind is tainted in that sin of disobedience. And nor has anyone else lived a perfect life. We can't look at someone else and say that they like that. We look at, you know, we look at folk around us. You know, you may have Christian friends. You may know Christian folks. You might even know your grandmother was in church and your mother's in church. And you know, you think your grandmother was, you know, your mother was holy. No one lives a perfect life. Everyone is in need of salvation. And the Word of God says, real quick, we're going to go to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6 says we all need Christ. We all need a Savior. We all need to come to faith and understand that Christ paid the price for all of our sins. Even your grandmother, your great-grandmother, your aunties, and all those that are around you, you know, from an unbeliever, even your grandmother who's been going to church and praying for years, you always knew her as a holy woman of God, but yet, trust me, your grandmother was a sinner. Before you were born, she was a sinner in need of Christ. She just came to the realization that she needed to know that she needed Christ for herself. So we look at Romans chapter number 3, Romans chapter number 3 and verse 23, and the word says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every man has sinned. Every man, woman, and child is born into sin, and unless they come to Christ, they will spend eternity under his wrath, under his punishment. And I know a lot of people ask about children and folk, at what age is it, the age of accountability. You know what? If you can explain it to a child, whatever age they come to understand who Jesus Christ is and can make a decision for themselves, that's their age of accountability. But don't worry about the ones before. God, again, God is just, God is righteous, and God knows. He knows the heart, the innocence. Leave that to God. If you will focus on the sin, the full-grown adult sinner, God will take care of the children. He'll take care of those who may not understand for whatever reason. But God knows that we have a world that we're called to speak life into, that we can communicate the gospel with and give them the understanding and knowledge. That's why part of the reason we're doing this program and putting it out there, that someone can see the scripture, hear the word, and know that what the gospel truly is, the plain, unadulterated gospel. Our next is, the gospel is, your sin has separated you from God. We're going to go to the Old Testament now. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 59, that we know our sin has separated us from God. Your sin, my sin, the pastor that you know down the block sin, the deacon that you might know, the righteous, again, you know, your grandmother, you know, all of us, it's the sin of the human race that separated us from God. And the Word of God teaches us that. So we go to Isaiah 59. Again, you can always go back and read and check it out for yourself. Ask your Christian friends. You can call back in here. Ask us. Also, you can reach us on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter and send your question there. We will respond to you. So Isaiah 59 says, verse number 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." You have separated yourself. The sins in our lives, the sins that we are tainted with from Adam, have separated us from God. Amen? So your payment for sin is death and hell. We go back to Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin are death." The wages of sin is death. This is why Christ had to die. This is why Christ had to fulfill the law. He had to fulfill the, that's why Christ had to die and take the wrath and punishment of God. And now, once you believe and accept that he's paid the price for your sin, your salvation is secure because you believe, and now he's your Lord, he's your Savior, and your Lord. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. That's eternal life. But there is good news. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. Amen. While I'm going there, I encourage you to, again, get a scripture, read the Word of God. You can call in. If you're listening online, I see my brothers out there. If you're listening and want to share some input and insight as we're moving forward, you can hit one on your keypad. If you are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, or even on Twitter, you can call in at 646-668-2636. Press one on the keypad, and we'll let you share and see if we can let you share your insights. Okay, we are, but God, there is good news. The gospel is, there is good news. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. The Word of God says, this is a faithful saying and worthy for all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. For who am I? Am the chief. That was Paul writing to his son Timothy. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Another scripture says he didn't come to save the righteous. If you think you're righteous, if you think you're doing everything in obedience to God by your actions and your lifestyle, you're in trouble. Because the only way to please God is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Christ was sent, and that's why Christ was here. Also, you can go to Luke chapter 2, verse number 10 and 11. I'm not going to go there tonight, but also, again, I'm going to share that with you as your it's the research, as confirmation of the Word of God. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Our next one, the gospel is a perfect substitution can make your payment. A perfect substitution can make the payment, your payment for sin. And Jesus was that perfect substitution. We're going to 1 John. We're going to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3, and we're going to verse number 5. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 5. The Word of God says, and ye know that he was manifest to take away our sin, and in him there was no sin. He was perfect. He was the perfect sacrifice. Amen? Jesus Christ. When he says here, he's talking about Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus Christ is manifest. That's why he was born in a manger, born to a virgin, which was fulfillment of a lot of Old Testament prophecies about who the Messiah was and who the Redeemer would be. But again, this is why we always encourage believers to be part of a church, be of a Bible-believing, Bible-studying church, that we can see the connections, that the prophecies have been fulfilled in Christ, who Christ was, and where the Word of God teaches us. Amen? We're continuing on with the gospel. And God loves us so much. God loves us so much. That God's love is unconditional. He loved all mankind. From Adam, even in the midst of his sin, he made provision for Adam and Eve, even in the garden, even after they were disobedient to him. They did not kill them. But yet he made provision. So he makes provision for us. Because he so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. That's the scripture I know every unbeliever, every non-Christian knows. John 3:16. Because he loved the world, he sent his only Son. And whoever should believe in him shall have eternal life. That's the scripture we see on T-shirts, book bags, on Facebook. We see it everywhere. And that's the scripture, because God loved the world. But understand, his love, there's wrath because of his love. If you reject him, when the time of judgment comes, you will feel the wrath of God. The same, and it will be eternal wrath and separation. Because to be perfect and righteous and to be loving, he must be just. And punishment for sin is just. Amen? The gospel is that he gave Jesus as your substitute. We're going to go point you to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. We all still in the New Testament for my non-Christians and non-believers. Again, just want to get these scriptures to you. You can search them out. Go to a church. Ask your Christian buddies. Ask your Christian friends. Get you a Bible, one of those Bibles from the dollar store or Bibles out the hotel room. Next time you're in a hotel, pick up the Bible, read it. That word of God is good. It's good for the word of God is good for salvation, for understanding, for correction and reproof. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he was a substitute. He paid the price. He was our substitute because of the evil, for the debt, for the payment of the sin in our life, for the sin of all mankind. And through his death, we are redeemed. We don't go to through his death. The gospel is through his death we are redeemed. We're going to go to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3 and 10. 3 and 10. 1 Peter 3 and 10. Amen? Because through his death we are redeemed. 1 Peter 3 and 10. The word of God says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that he may speak no guile. Well, I'm sorry. That wasn't 1 Peter. That was 1 Peter 3 and 18. Sorry about that. That was 10, but I need to go to 18. 18, I read the wrong scripture verse. But anyway, you can, if you go to 1 Peter 3 and read the whole chapter, I'll just give you some highlights here, but I want to focus on 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 18. For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Amen? So he paid the price. He was our substitute. And through his death, we are redeemed. And because, again, because God accepted his sacrifice, he was raised from the dead on the third day. And that's also the miracle and understanding that God accepted his death. You can have eternal life. You, today, the unbeliever, the non-Christian, you can have eternal life if you will believe, if you will read the word, pray that God will open your mind, open your heart. And again, this is why in the church, I learned a long time ago, there's great preachers and teachers out there, but the word of God, if you would read the word of God, it's like anything else in our lives. If we take and apply ourselves to learn anything, we apply ourselves to get our high school diploma, our bachelor's degree, our associate's degree, our master's degree. We apply ourselves, we do the work, we do the labor, we seek the understanding and the knowledge, and then we commit ourselves to those things. You know, so if you're an electrician, mechanical engineer, electrical engineer, electrician, a policeman, a file clerk, or whatever you are, there's instruction and training that you receive to do that job and be who you are, to be able to carry that title. If you're police or fire, EMS, you have to be able to read, understand, and apply what you've learned to be carry that title. So to be a Christian, it's more than just, because we're called to be disciples. And that's the thing, sometimes we slip out of church, but I'm not going to get into that right now because I want to speak to the non-believer and the non-Christian today. If you commit yourself to the things of Christ, the word of God is to give you direction on how to live as a Christian, to be able to walk in that thing who are in obedience. Amen? So you can have eternal life. We're going to John 17:3. And the word of God says, and this is life eternal, that you might know thee, that the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. It's only through the true God, who God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ, who he sent to pay the price for our sins. No other way, no other name, no other religion, no other practice or other religion are you going to see and stand before the true and living God. But while you are going to stand and be judged by him, but if you don't believe who Jesus Christ says he is and believe the God that what the Bible says the God has sent him, these are the things you're going to be judged on. And you have to believe by faith. Amen? So the gospel is, by his resurrection, death is defeated. We're going to John 11:25. Amen. Amen. One more. We have one more, and we're gonna let you go for tonight. We're gonna come back again on Thursday. We can continue on. We have a couple more scriptures and points. I don't want to give them all tonight, but I just wanted to encourage you and be able to speak life and tell you what the gospel is, who the gospel is, what the Word of God says, and who what it means to be a Christian and to be a disciple of Christ. And again, I'm going to come back after I do this one here. We're going to John 11, and by his resurrection, death is defeated. John 11:25, and the Word says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he is dead, is yet shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We have to believe who God says he is. We have to believe in Jesus Christ. We have to believe the resurrection. The resurrection is the thing. That's why I'm going to stop there tonight and give you opportunity for my non-Christian and my non-believers to understand the resurrection separates Christianity from all other religions. Because all the other religions, you can name them, go down the list, whoever they are, whoever their leaders and founders and creators were, they're all dead. They're all dead men. But Christ lived because of the resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection during the spring. We celebrate he died and was buried for 3 days, and on the third day he rose on a Sunday morning. The witness of Scripture, the Word of God is true, and God predicted that because that confirmed that God accepted his sacrifice. So the resurrection separates, again, the Christian from all other religions. So today, I just wanted to encourage you. I just wanted to continue to encourage you, to strengthen you, to take this opportunity to plant seeds in you. You've been listening to Issues, Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here live every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Sundays at 9 a.m. And this week, we're going to continue on what the gospel is. We're going to go through some scriptures, go through some of the points. And we want to be able to share with non-Christian and the unbeliever, that we might encourage them. We might open their hearts, their minds, get them to think it through, because the Word of God says that we love God with all our heart and with all our mind, and take in the knowledge of the Word of God. God has put the Word of God. The Word of God is here for us, to help us, to grow us, to mature us, to get us to a place of understanding. And again, so I'm going back to my church. The springtime is here. It's time for us to go outside the four walls, compel the lost, compel those who have not heard the gospel, have not been ministered to, have not seen the love of God in their lives, that are struggling with all kinds of things. If we look around the world, we see that we hear about death and destruction all the time. We hear about lives being lost. But how many of those young people and people who have died through tragic circumstances, or the murder rate in your city, no matter where you live at, there's a murder rate. How many of those people have died, did not know Christ, did not have opportunity to know Christ, because you and your church didn't go out and minister in that community, that neighborhood, you have not shared the gospel with the people you work with, the people that you live around. We are the church. We are the representation of Christ. We're called to be light. We're called to be salt in this culture, and we are called to make a difference in the people's lives. We can make a temporal difference, but also we have to make an eternal difference, that their souls might be saved, that they may come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to do as a church, is to minister to the lost. Amen? Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is the Issues Christian Men's Talk. And again, I'm going to end this program. If you're listening online and you've called in, 668-2636, and want to have any input or want to share or want to say something to encourage those that are listening, please press one on your keypad, because I'm about to close here. But I do want to end with this. Again, the gospel is. The good news is that one and only God, who is holy, made us in his image to know him. But we sinned and cut ourselves off from him. In his great love, God became a man in Jesus, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross, thus fulfilling the law himself and taking on himself the punishment of the sins of all those who would ever turn and trust to him. He rose again from the dead, showing that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice and that God's wrath against us had been exhausted. He now calls us to repent of our sins and trust Christ alone for our forgiveness. If we repent from our sins and trust in Christ, we are born again into a new life, an eternal life with God. So again, my name is Deacon Thomas Farr. This is an Issues Christian Men's Talk. We thank you for joining us tonight. We pray that something was said tonight will encourage you. It will encourage you to, if for my Christian brothers out there, I will encourage you to go share the gospel with the lost. Again, for my non-Christian and unbelievers, I pray something would stir in you. Again, you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com. You can reach out to us on the Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk, on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk, and you can share the program. And I pray if there's anything you want to add, we encourage you to call back in and join us on Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 9 p.m. We will continue on with some more points of giving the gospel in its simplest and biblical form to encourage someone to understand who Christ is and he died for you and your sins. God bless you and continue to live a life that is pleasing to God. For my brothers out there, I'm going to just close out with prayer and say thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the men. Thank you for those, oh God, who have supported. Thank you for the husbands, the fathers, and the sons. Continue to strengthen them, God. Continue to guide and direct them. Give them the wisdom, God, to lead in their homes, to love their wives, to lead and disciple and minister to their children, God. Strengthen them, God, just to stand in the midst of the things that come up against their lives, that burden them, the financial pressures, the marital pressures, the character issues, the habits, all these things, the financial pressures. Let them stand, God. Let them seek you, God, for the answer. Let them seek you for encouragement. And, Father, continue to bless your church, God. Bless your leaders, your faithful ones who teach the word of God, who minister to your people, who disciple your people. Strengthen them and continue, God, to do the things you want to do so that we might be the church and that we would stand before you and hear, well done, a good and faithful servant. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.
Hallelujah.